Ann Woods.
Good morning. Thank you so much. Go ahead and seat. If that's too loud, mic, turn it down.
I'm trying. Hang on just a sec.
Okay.
Leave me. Hang on just a sec.
Okay.
I'm not connected. Try one more. No.
How am I doing now? A little loud.
Way loud.
Well, he's. You're okay?
No.
Okay. Well, he's. I'll turn it back. I'm going to use this one. There we go. So there's 10 categories in biblical worldview. And all worldviews, doesn't matter what you look at in the world, as you wake up in the morning and as you start to go about your day, everything that you do fits into one of the 10 categories. And today we're going to look at psychology specifically. We're going to look at that mind, the body, the soul. We're going to look about who and how God has made us and how that all works. If you are a teacher here, or you are an adult, or an administrator, or you're working with students, just let me tell you this. In this world that we're living in, it's going crazy. It's getting crazy, right? And sometimes my wife and I have this conversation, are these people out of their minds? Like, are they out of their minds? Well, let me tell you, I always tell you something. Don't give up hope. If you're an educator, don't give up hope. You just keep doing what you're doing, right? We keep doing that. My kids are in their 30s now. I just keep talking to them. I keep telling them. I keep teaching them. I got 9 grandkids, 2 more coming. I just keep pounding away. And when I'm talking to grandkids, and they got a ball, and usually when the kids have the ball, they're usually throwing it at something or at someone, and I'm like, are they even listening to me? You just keep talking. You just keep pounding away, and you keep telling them about the Word of God and how to do things and how God sees the world. You just keep pounding away. And I hear people say, oh, it's over in the United States. It's not over. It is not over. It's not over until Jesus says it's over. And he is going to come again, and then it will be over from that standpoint. But you just keep pounding away. Because you've heard coaches say this, practice makes perfect. No, it doesn't. Believe me, I practiced a lot. I shot a lot of basketball when I was in high school. Didn't make perfect. Practice makes permanent. And so when you are working with kids, adults, practice makes permanent. You keep going through the Word of God, and it will become permanent in their minds. Whether they're bouncing the ball or throwing it at you or whatever they're doing, you just keep pounding away. Don't give up. It's not over. It's not over, folks. We're going to continue on. So a biblical worldview is the way that God has taught us in his word to view the world. Y'all know that, and I know that's part of your mission, the biblical worldview. But it's how God has taught us, it's the way God's taught us in his word to view the world. I did not have a biblical worldview. I thought I did it, but I did not have a biblical worldview. And I told you that one time when a buddy came into me and he said, Dan, I watched how you're raising your kids. And he goes, I don't think you read your Bible. And I was like, I can't believe you're telling me I'm not reading my Bible. But he was right. I wasn't reading it at all. But he said, I said, why do you say you don't think I'm reading my Bible? He said, watch how you raise your kids. I watch how you discipline your kids. Everything you're using is basically a behavioristic approach. It's just behavior. You're just trying to change the behavior of your kid. You're not teaching them. You're not training them. He says, it's just behavior. And I said, well, what do you mean? He goes, you read Proverbs. You read the Psalms. Read your Bible. It tells you about how to train kids. It's not just behavior. It's not just getting them to do what you want them to do. But I was trained in a psychological way, and that's what you did. So if you want a biblical worldview, you got to read your Bible. That's why the Bible begins with Genesis 1:1. The Bible didn't start with John 3:16, right? It starts with Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created heaven's earth. That's how it starts. That's why you never go to a football game, you never see this. Genesis 1:1! Because we're standing there going, Genesis 1:1! Don't put Genesis 1:1 up there. In the beginning, God created the heavens, where people go, that thing is weird. You lost it, right? You don't see Genesis 1:1. You see John 3:16. God so loved the world. Yeah, favorite verse. There's more verses before John 3:16. Just letting you know that, okay? That's what I used to think. Oh, it's just about the New Testament. I'm a New Testament guy. Better be an Old Testament guy. The biblical worldview is established when your thinking and your actions align with the Word of God. If you look at Colossians 2, this may be something to go back and read. Colossians 2, 1 through 3, actually 2 through 11, is where you ought to go. But Colossians 2, when you read that, it says, Paul says, all the mysteries are hidden, the wisdom and knowledge are hidden in the mystery of God. And they said, you know what the mystery of God is? Jesus Christ. The mystery of God, all wisdom and knowledge is in Jesus Christ. That's the authority. And then he goes on and says, don't be taken captive by the things of this world, and let your thinking of the mind be wrong. Okay? Don't let the thinking of your mind be wrong. How many of you have been held at gunpoint? You've been held at gunpoint. Raise your hand if someone came up to you and put a gun in your head and said, give me all your money, or have you do this. Anybody, raise your hand. Every time I ask that, you know how many people I've done this? Millions of times. No, not millions. My mom always said, I've told you a million times never. A million times, you can't exaggerate. Okay, I've done this several times, and every time I've been, raise your hand, you're going to help me. One person, one guy. This summer at an FCA camp, I talked to some college kids, get raised his hand, all the kids are like, dude. They're all like, what happened? I'm like, don't tell me right now, tell me afterwards. Afterwards, I went up to him and said, what happened? It was over a $20 drug deal. He said, I wasn't going to pay $20 for this bag of dope. And he said, the guy pulled out a gun and put it to my head. He goes, I paid him. That's the only guy. There's only one other guy in real life I've met that I was a part of that. And that was a guy that worked at our school. And we had a house that we leased, and we had four international boys that stayed with this guy. And the guy went to the school to pick up one of the boys at a debate tournament was over. He went to pick him up, brought him home, 10:30 at night. Like, this guy, this is five blocks from my house in Houston. This guy pulls up in the driveway with the student, 10:30 at night, it's dark, shuts off the car in the driveway, opens up the door, dude puts a gun to his head and says, get out of the car. And my friend, because this never happens to us, it doesn't happen to us that, you know, we get held up. And my buddy took his hand, and pushed it away from his head and said, nah, get off. And the guy, like, put the gun back to his head and said, get out of the car. He was held captive without his will. He stole his car, tried to run him over, tried to run the kid over. I go over there, it's Houston, police don't respond. So I showed up, talked to him, talked him through it. Police finally showed up. But he was held captive. Paul says in Colossians, don't be taken captive. He's not talking about a gun to your head. He's saying, don't be taken captive in your mind. And so that's why psychology is important, because there's a lot of junk out there that's not true in this area. And so we're going to try to clear that up in our mind today. So here's the overview. We're going to look at the three competing views, worldviews of psychology. There's lots of them, but some of them are so far out there, we're not even going to get into it, because we literally would say, those people are crazy. Okay? We're going to look at the biblical view of human nature, who we are. We're going to take a look at biblical counseling versus secular counseling. We're going to take a look at the differences between scripture and psychology. And then we're going to take a look at the difference between self-image and biblical image. We're not going to have enough time today, but in the expanded view of this presentation, I go into the six myths of psychological counseling, the six myths, and I go through all the ways that secular counseling does not work, and it's proven that it does not work. Biblical counseling works. This psychobabble stuff, the secular counseling, does not work. Guy showed up at my church a couple weeks ago, walks up, big dude, all tattooed up, tattooed here, tattooed all over his arm, big dude. He's got a great big thick Bible. Like, it looks like it's been soaked in water. I mean, that thing is like thick, like, you know how it's been used so many times? I'm like, I gotta meet that dude. I walk over there and I'm like, hey, how's it going? My name's Dan. I start talking. I said, hey, how's it going? But we start talking. It's like, well, I go, hold the story. He says, I just got out of jail. I'm like, okay. I said, I've been in jail as a visitor. I said, I've been in jail as a visitor. So we got to talking. I mean, yeah. So I choose girlfriend. Whole nine yards. Did 8 years in jail. And he's totally free. He is totally free. And he said the only way he reformed, he said, I saw all that psychobabble in the jail, all these guys talking about it. He goes, there's only one way that I was converted. The only way that I could get out of there, the only way that God could change my mind was through his word. He said, a guy shared the gospel with me. He goes, I was converted. He goes, I've read that thing through so many times. He goes, totally changed my life, totally changed my thinking, totally changed my mind. So here he is going from holding his girlfriend captive, trying to shoot her, to being held captive and not being taken captive. He's being taken captive by the word of God. That's how God changes life. That's what he does. God's in the business of doing that. You have notes. But these are the things we're going to look at today. So psychology is the study of the soul, mind, and spirit. And in every category of a worldview, you have to answer some key questions. In the overview session that I do on the 10 categories, there's a key question for everything. Like in inner biology, you have to answer the question, what about life? What about life? Where did it start? Where does it end? Where did I come from? All of it. Well, the key question in psychology is, what about human nature? What about human nature? Sometimes when I do these in the schools, I'll take a piece of paper and I'll put a $20 bill inside the paper, I'll crumple it up, and I lay it on the floor, and all the kids will come in, and usually none of the kids pick up that trash. You know who usually picks up the trash? The principal. Right? You know why the principal is the principal? It's because he picked up the trash. It's not, he's the principal, so he picks up the trash. He's the principal because he picks up the trash. He does things, and he moves up. And that's why he does that. But human nature is, nobody's going to pick that up. It's not my deal. Not my problem. Now, I lay a $20 bill there, outside the paper. Guess how many people pick that up? Oh, they all pick that up. Guess how many of them want to turn it back in? Not very many. Because you know what? It's not identified. It doesn't have a name on it, right? Well, it's got Secretary of Treasury on that, right? But it doesn't have a name on it. So the key question is, what about human nature? Here's the question. Here's the real question. Are we good or bad people? Are we good or bad? That's the real question. Are we good or are we bad? Okay. Psychology is the study of the mind or soul. Okay? The study of the mind or the soul. That's what we're going to look at today. So no worldview other than Christianity has true insight in the spiritual and mental realm. There's no other worldview that can figure this out. True insight in the spiritual and mental realm. Pick any other worldview, and it can't explain it, right? Reincarnation. Some worldviews believe in reincarnation. The last thing I want to do is come back as a dog. Worse yet, cat. Mouse? Horse? Come on. Are you kidding me? In an earlier life, I was a dog. You got a bigger problem than that. See what I'm saying? Christianity, we can solve this, right? Because here's the, ultimately in your worldview, if you don't know how, if you don't know where the finish line is, why are you here, right? You know, every worldview has to say, where's the finish? Where's the end? And if you don't know what the end is, why are you even running? Like, who's going to get in a race and go, oh, I'm going to run this race? Like, I start track meets. We get up there, we're getting ready for the mile. Everybody lines up for the mile. I say, okay, ladies, 12 times around today. Here we go, 12 times. You start running, turn left until you finish line. There's 12 times. And right away, they're like, no, 4 times. It's the mile. They're easily ready to correct you because they know where the finish line is. If you don't know where the finish line is, you need to read your Bible and figure out where the finish line is. Christianity and psychology are compatible. Oh, Christianity and psychology, people say they're not compatible. They're compatible because the worldview of biblical Christianity contains the psychology of the mind. It contains a study of the mind. The Bible tells us about studying our mind. Okay? It tells us about the mind. Tell us what the mind can do, what can't do, right? Well, if you just think the best you can be the best you can be. Think hard on it. You imagine it. You'll be the best you can be. Well, I tried that on the SAT, and that did not work. I got to 800. You get 400 if you put your name on the page. No, I'm just kidding. But you can't just think it and it's going to happen. So here's a question about, we're going to clear this one up, but at least you'll know where it's at. Do we have two parts? Do we have a body and then a soul, spirit together? So do we have a body and a soul, spirit? Or do we have three parts? Do we have a body, and then there's our soul, and then there's our spirit? Good question, right? Let's try to clear that up. The dichotomy, the two-part view, is that the first part is that man has a united body and a spirit, and that's our soul. That's the two-part, that's one of the two-part views, okay? So we have a body, and we have a spirit, and that together equals our soul. That's one view. The second view is that the spirit and the soul are the same thing, and just has two different names. So in other words, we have a body, and then we have a soul-spirit that's together. Okay? That's the two-part. Those are the two-part views. Then there's the three-part view, right? And those who believe that Scripture teaches that man is a trichotomy, they see man comprised of three distinct parts, and that's the body, the soul, and the spirit, okay? Now, regardless of whether you're a Christian, whether you believe it's dichotomy or trichotomy, we can unitedly praise God and say that I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are full, wonderful, and I know that full well. So you might believe two-part, you might believe three-part. It's not with us dividing hairs. It's not a big deal. We're not going to split hairs over that deal. Okay? The psychology about what about human nature, we're going to look at secular humanism We're going to look at Marxist-Leninism, and then we're going to look at the biblical Christianity and biblical worldview and psychology. Okay, so stick with me here. And you're going to take all those notes. You're going to fill that thing up. Okay, so secular humanism believes in the area of psychology as self-actualization. And I'll explain that out a little bit. But that's a pretty big word, self-actualization. In other words, you can do this yourself, and you're going to get to that point. We'll talk about Maslow here a little bit. The Marxist-Leninism is all behaviorism. It's just behavior. It's all nature. It's all behavior. We respond to our environment, stimuli. And then biblical Christianity believes that we have a mind, because that's where you're writing stuff down. You have a mind. There's stuff that's going in your brain right now that's buzzing around in there, and then you write stuff down. Just think about this. You can understand the words I'm saying. Is that weird? Like, I go to a different country, and they say words, and I'm like, I have no idea what they're saying. I just don't understand what they're saying. Can't understand it. We have a mind, and then we have a body, right? Both of those are fallen. My mind is fallen. I can do some flight of hand tricks, and you'd be like, how do you do that? And then our body's fallen. That's why you have to get up in the morning. You have to, like, brush your teeth, because your teeth smell really bad. Your breath smells bad. You have to do something with your hair. You have to wash your body, right? It's called the second law of thermodynamics. Everything's going downhill, right? Just look at me. Going downhill, right? That's what we're doing. Second law of thermodynamics. Everything, dude. They're pouring that concrete out there today. Guess what? 20 years, it's going to be crap. It's just all that sun's going to beat on there. It's the second law of thermodynamics. It's all going down, right? And so that's why we need somebody to fix this problem for us, because we can't fix it. Secular humanism believes in self-actualization. They believe, if you're a secular humanist, and this is where I sat for a long time, 30-some years, personal God is a myth. You can't believe in a personal God. A lot of times they say they're atheists. They're not atheists. Atheists believe there's no God. They're agnostic. They're agnostic. They basically believe, there's probably a God who's going to believe it. Because you can't just go outside and look around and go, oh, wow, you did all this. You can't sit there and go, you have to know that somebody created something, but they just don't know who it is. They believe that man is a product of millions, I'll say it real slow so it sounds real smart,
millions and millions of years of evolution.
You say it real slow, it sounds real smart. So man is a product of those millions of years of evolution. They believe that there's no supernatural in this world. That's what secular humans believe. There's no room for that supernatural stuff. There's no miracles. There's nothing that can happen supernaturally. God couldn't have created it in 7 days. Only the material things is what they believe. They believe in the brain, that there's this environmental stimuli, and that we respond to that stimuli. We walk into a gym, it's cold. Boom, I gotta respond. I gotta put some clothes on. It's cold, right? We just respond, right, to the stimuli. Behaviorism is all thoughts or personality are byproducts of physical interactions of the brain. So it's just behaviorism. All our thoughts, our personality, it's all byproducts of this physical interaction. So we are what we are because of just all this natural interaction that we have. The environment, all of that stuff, right? So here's the problem when you get to the LGBT, actually the LGB, versus the transgender. Because the LGBT says, I'm gay. I was born this way in my mind. I'm gay, right? The transgender says I'm in the wrong body. So you've got one that's just all body. You've got the other, it's in their mind. Well, I'm a man. I'm a woman. I can look at you. You're not a man. You're a woman. No, in my mind. So they believe it's all in the mind. Then you got the other say, I was born in the wrong body. They shouldn't even be putting LGBT together. These people should be fighting against each other because they believe two different areas. The two different areas of psychology. It's a little weird. But self-actualization was Maslow, You know, if you've been in, if you went to any educational program, university, man's basically good. Man is basically good. Okay? I have 9 grandkids, I'm pretty sure none of them are good. 2 more that are coming, they won't be good either. Okay? As far as I know, we just don't have any intrinsic instincts for evil. So that's what being taught all over the university. There's I have no propensity to do bad things. I have no bad things. I don't do any bad things. That's what Maslow said. Well, that's called self-actualization in regards to a person needs to get in touch with their inherent goodness. The problem is, you just don't know you're good. You need to self-actualize and know that you're good. Once you know that, all your problems will be solved. Then you will be healthy. Once the lower needs, the physiological, the safety, social, ego, are met, self-actualization, then they can be declared mentally healthy. That's where they're at. So you just think about it a little bit. Once you realize it, that you're good, you're good. So here's what he has. Here's what he put together. He said, here's his needs, kind of physiological needs. Once you have, every person needs air, water, food, sleep, clothing. Then safety, personal safety, then loving, want, friendships, then esteem, you have to have respect, self-esteem, and then self-actualization, you have to desire to become the most that you can be. I was a principal in the public schools, I remember they came in, they're like, okay, based on all the research, we need to put mirrors. We need to put these full-length mirrors up everywhere around the school. We're going to put them in the hallway, we're going to put them in the, because we built a new school, we're going to put them up in the bathrooms, because middle school kids have a self-esteem problem. And they need to see themselves as good. It's massive. Basically, they need to self-actualize. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says in Romans 12, don't think any higher of yourself than you are. Don't think any higher than you. We don't have a self-esteem problem. We all think we're good. We're good, right? We're all good. We're good. We're good. We're good. Everybody thinks we're good. Yeah. We're not good. Right? Those professional athletes come out there, they're like, high five, I'm going out of the locker room. Kobe Bryant, hey, sign my basketball, Kobe Bryant. I watched him do that. He's like, he's too good. Because everybody's good. Self-actualization. Here's what happens, though. Here's the response to a mass shooting based on Maslow's hierarchy of needs. The secular humanistic view of psychology. So you have a mass shooting. We turn on the TV, there's this mass shooting. Somebody gets all shot up. Somebody goes to the grocery store, shoots a whole bunch of stuff. Shoots a whole bunch of people up. Here is a psychological, here's secular psychology says this. That guy had a bad upbringing. He didn't have enough opportunities or scholarships. He was bullied as a kid. He didn't have a father at home. His shoes were too tight as a kid. Right? That's what you hear on the news. Oh, we've got a, they're searching out why he had these problems. They're going into his Facebook account, Instagram, Twitter, and they're trying to find out why was this guy, why did he do all these problems? Why did he do this? Why did he do this? Because this is really weird for somebody to do that because people are basically good, right? Did you see this deal where I was on the news, like in some family was in Disneyland or something down in Florida, and the little kid, like, got away off of the resort, got, like, too close to some of the water or something, and an alligator ate the kid, right? And on the news, they're like, I can't believe an alligator ate that kid. Can you believe an alligator? That's what alligators do. They eat kids. Bears, I like to go fly fishing. I carry a personal handgun with me. It can knock a bear down. Because you know what bears do? They eat guys like me. Skinny little guys, not get a lot off the bones, but they eat guys. That's what people do. They do bad things. But the psychology goes, oh, he was bullied as a kid. The secular humanist response, we need more parenting classes. We need more opportunities and scholarships. We need an anti-bullying campaign. We need more fathers. We need shoes that aren't so tight. Sounds silly, right? But But that's what they say. Just listen to the news. Next time it happens, it'll happen again, and you just listen. Listen to the response, those commentators. I just think it's hilarious. Like, you guys are just idiots. Well, it's their view. It's their world. I was an idiot. That was the view I had. Well, we need to stop this. We need to put mirrors up. We got a self-esteem problem. I'm like, put those mirrors up. Yeah, we need to do that. The ultimate humanistic fix is we need to ban guns. We need to take all the guns away from everybody. You wait. There'll be another one. That's what they'll say. This is it. We're going to. Our country just presented, they just put together somebody who's now the czar for anti-gun, anti-violence or some gun thing, right? Like, are you kidding me? People are going to do bad things. It's not good. What about a knife problem? Let's have a czar for knives, you know. How about butter knives? People are going to kill with butter knives all the time, right? Cars. Trees. The number one killer of trees is car accidents. Go look it up. Number one killer, trees. People pass out, run into a tree, die. They lose control, they hit a tree. We should cut all the trees down. You think I'm kidding? Go look up the numbers. We should be banning trees. Save our trees. Save our trees. Okay. Here's a Christian response. Christian response is that behavior, that guy going in there and shooting up all those people, that's a direct result of sin. You'll never hear about it. That guy's a bad person. He's a bad person. Wasn't a shooting, he's a bad person. Did bad things. That person that person should be held personally responsible. They should be held personally responsible for the crime that they commit. They should be punished for that crime. And those guys know that they're going to be punished for the crime, so you know what most of them do? You know what most of them do when they do those? They kill themselves. Because in their mind, they know they're going to get punished. Not in America anymore. Probably not going to get punished. You're probably going to get out of jail. You're probably going to get 18 months. You're out. What a statistic. But when the people are really, oh, this is bad. Guilt. I did bad things. What am I going to do? I'm going to kill myself. They should shoot themselves right there. And with all that bad news, Christian responses, there's good news. They say, Jesus, put him in jail. He should be locked up. Somebody's going to go in there and share the gospel with them. They're going to get saved, and they will be reformed. Behavior, Marxist-Leninism, is behaviorism. Behaviorism emphasizes how people interact with their environment. It's all environment. It's all nature. Don't worry about the mind. Behaviorism ignores the spirituality of man. Behavior is shaped by environmental factors, rewards, and punishment. And I'm not saying there's not a need for this when you're raising kids, because there's rewards for me doing good things, right? I do good things. I go to work. I get rewarded for that. I do bad things. Probably going to get rewarded for that too. Just rather than the cognitive process. The process by which this behavior is formed is known as conditioning. In other words, we're going to condition you to do something. So when I was a principal, we had a bunch of kids in our school. They were labeled behavior disorder. In other words, their behavior was so out of whack that they had a label on them, that they were behavior disorder. So we didn't know what to do with them. So I went through the Boys Town model of training, Boys Town model of intervention. It's all Boys Town model in Boys Town. It's all behaviorism. All they're doing is they're trying to change your behavior on a permanent basis. So it's just constant, 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 constant. Problem is, it doesn't work, right? So kids would come into my office, they'd have to sit with me, and I had a process. They had to sit with their hands on their knees, they had to sit up straight, they had to look me right in the eye. If they looked away, I had to bring them back. If they took their hands off their knees, I made them put their hands back on my knees. It was all behaviors, because I was gonna get to a point where we're gonna solve this problem. Well, one day I had a kid in my office, I'm in there for 2 hours. He got sent to my office, I'm using this method, I sit with his hands on his knees, I look at me, I sit up straight, all that stuff, go 2 hours. He will not comply with me just to do those things. Noon hits, bell rings, that's a lunch bell. Man, that kid sits up, puts his hands on his knee, looks right at me, says, "I'm ready to make an apology to the teacher. I'm too long. I didn't blah, 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 blah." I said, "I'm ready to go." I'm like, "Wait a minute. What's going on?" "It's all behavior. It's all behavior. He really wasn't sorry. He just wanted to go to lunch." Doesn't work. "Oh, it works fine. Makes my life easier. But doesn't change him at all." Mm-mm. Biblical Christianity, the existence of the supernatural, including consciousness. Do you know that we're conscious right now? We're all awake, right? I think we're all awake. I think we're all awake, okay? Humans have both material. We have physical and immaterial aspects of us. We have a material body. We also have a spiritual part of us, right? So there are physical laws, right? If I go up on top of the ad building and I jump off, I'm going to probably break a law, right? Probably a couple bones, probably my neck. I'm going to break something, but I'm going to break the law of gravity, right? There are spiritual laws. You break spiritual laws, there's spiritual consequences for that. So fear the one who can put both soul and body in hell. So that's what Jesus said. You should fear the one who can put not only your body, but also your soul in hell. So the unity of identity is the consciousness is that the same matter, what age, goes beyond just the physical to the spiritual. Oh, Dan, that's a lot of words for what are you talking about? Okay. We all have a memory, right? You have memories of things. You have those memories for a long time, right? I still think like I can do things like I'm 20 years old. But I can't. Some days I get up, I look in the mirror, I'm like, what happened to me? Where did these wrinkles come? What in the world is happening to me? I don't feel that way. I feel great. I look horrible. I do. You know what I'm saying? I mean, like, I went in to my dermatologist. Like, I'm going to get checked. I'm going to make sure I got skin cancer stuff. She comes in with that nitric oxide stuff, which shoots that, like, it'll freeze everything. It'll freeze the entire universe. She walks into that thing, and, like, I'm just having a look from here up, honey, just right here. So I got my shirt off. She walks in with that, and she's like, oh, that one. Oh, one on the back. I said, I got a little spot right here where they put an IV in, and it's got a little bump there, and there it goes, like, I had a blister the size of Mount Rushmore right here. That thing was huge. Like, I'm going down, baby. We're going down. That's what happens to us. Our body's falling, but we have this memory of like, I'm still young. I still, right? So now I see people see me. I walked up, you get this girl. I walked up. At a car dealership, I was doing some world view at a car dealership. I walk in, this guy walks by me and goes, "Hey, little cabin in the woods." It's like, what is that? That was something that I did at an FCA weekend of champions. I did it 25 years ago. And this guy walks by and goes, "Little cabin in the woods." I'm like, "What are you talking about?" He goes, "Hey, I was at the weekend of champions 20 years ago. Because I saw you little cabin." How do you remember that? That's so weird. But that's our unity of identity. In our mind, we have that stuff. It never goes away. So now when I see people, I'm like, okay, I got to fast forward. I got to put my computer age enhancement machine on. And I got to like, okay, I got that person. You got to be your age. Okay, 20 years old. Memory is not just physical. Memory is in our mind, right? Memory is in there. It's in there. Okay, so the essence of every real religion is to adjust the mind and the soul of man. That's what every religion tries to do, is to adjust the mind and the soul of man. Every one of them on there, they do that. Healing means bringing the person to the right relationship with physical, mental, and spiritual laws of God. That's what healing is. That's how we get healed. We get healed in the physical, mental, and spiritual laws of God. How am I doing? Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. Look at this. 1 Thessalonians 5. Write that down, because like God can do this. The God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming Daniel. First Thessalonians 5:23. Okay, now, Dan, you said that people are crazy, or are people are crazy? Yeah, there are people crazy. I mean, I live in Houston. I mean, there are some people on the street, you're like, they're walking along, they're talking to themselves, they're standing on the corner, they got the sign out. I mean, these people are, you think they're crazy, right? Then you talk to some of them. There's a guy in Grand Island that was homeless years ago, about 30 years ago. This guy was all big beard, wore this green army coat. You always saw him walk along the street. And you're like, hey, do I give that guy any money or something? And I talk to one of my friends, and it's like, you know, he's a lawyer. The guy, that's a lawyer. And the guy said, I talked to his brother, and his brother, they support this guy. He just lives on the street because something happened in his brain that they can't figure out. It's an organic malfunction. You know, they do these tests on their brain and stuff, the brain's just not connected. So there are some people that happens to. It just happens. There's an organic thing that just happens. Like Alzheimer's, dementia, stuff just happens and you don't know what it is. It's organic. There's nothing they can do, right? They forget who people are. They get angry with people. So those organic malfunctions affecting the brain that are caused by brain damage, tumors, gene inheritance, glandular, chemical disorders, they're valid in terms of mental illness. They're mentally ill. There's nothing you can do. Unfortunately, we used to institutionalize people all the time. Now, there's different things they can do with that. But there is an organic malfunction that happens to people. Apart from organically generated difficulties, the mentally ill are just people with unresolved problems. And a lot of us have unresolved problems, right? We'll say, oh, that person's got an issue, and then they got a problem. There's problems, okay? So I'm talking apart from the organically ones, the people that have something that's organic, physical, right? It's just people with unresolved problems. So people reject counseling because they don't want any authority. My wife and I are having some trouble, and I asked her to go to counseling. She won't go to counseling. Why would she go to counseling? She doesn't want any authority. She doesn't want authority. And then people reject biblical counseling because they don't want the supreme authority. They don't want the word of God to be reigning over their life. They don't want God's authority, so they reject that completely. Okay. A behaviorist approach to solving problems is sometimes result in medication to solve the problem. Just medicate. Because it's just the body reacting and there's no spiritual. I had a student at our school, won't name the school, come in to breakfast every day and sit there with a couple of his buddies, usually alone. Some other kids would sometimes give him a hard time. I'd go and sit with him a lot. Kid walks into my office one day and he goes, hey, I talked to so-and-so, and he talked to so-and-so, and that kid's going to kill some kids today. Like, oh, really? Yep. Planning on killing him at lunch today. Okay. So, I called the kid in my office. I said, hey, how's it going? I said, you got something going on? Something in your mind happening? What are you thinking about? He said, and I would have had some relationship with him, I don't know if he would have told me, yeah, I'm going to kill some kids. Alright, how are you going to do that? Because I got two ball peen hammers in my locker, I'm just waiting, and instead of when the lunch bell rings, he said, I'm going to be standing in my locker, and they come out the corner, and I'm going to smack him out of the head and kill him. There's two guys. Okay. Well, let's walk down your locker. So I walk down to his locker, and he's fiddling with the combination, and right when he gets to the last number and he pulls the thing up, I'm like, I can't get out more of the ball being him. So right when he popped the locker open, I said, hey, let me tell you something. And I just talked with him, and I said, I mean, I think I got fired so many times, but I just shared with him the gospel, and I said, God has a better way. God can make this work. And he just told me a whole bunch of stuff that was going on in his past. His dad had dementia, his dad was in his 50s. His dad would come in after school, he'd walk into school, all the kids were leaving school. Dad was standing there, about 6'6", bib overalls, stuck out like a sore thumb, goes, the kid told me, he asked some days, he goes, I get home and my dad's mad at me because I made him lunch, but my dad couldn't find it. So he said, I started making peanut butter jelly sandwiches so I could leave them on the table so my dad didn't have to try to find them in the fridge. That's what the kid's dealing with. But it's all this stuff in the past. The past is the past. And we'll see that here in a little bit. But you know what? Couldn't fix the problem. So we met, and you know what all the school people did? They wanted to put him on medication. And that's exactly what they did. They put him on medication, and once he's on medication, I can't even get to the rest of it because they've jacked up his mind on medication, and I can't even. I kicked him out of school. I put him in the alternative school, and I saw him at the gas station. I said, hey, how's it going? Sorry about all that. And he said, oh, it's great now because they got him on this medication. I'm doing great. No, you're not. You're lost. You get off that medication, you're probably going to get some more ball from him. You'll be killing more people because we're bad people. That's how it works. So the biblical worldview of nature is, the biblical view of human nature is that man has rebelled against God. And that man has feelings about this rebellion. And man must reconcile himself to God, and he's going to face unresolved. If you don't reconcile yourself to God in the areas of your life, you're going to have unresolved problems. You're not going to get this. So the Christian view of human nature is complex. Ironically, it logically leads to a simple method of counseling people. It's super simple. Biblical counseling is you use the word of God. And you show people where they're not lined up with the word of God. So there are commands in scripture of what we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to think, what we're supposed to do. All you have to do is show them those. Right? You don't have to go into the past. The past is the past. God wants to deal with the present. So take personal responsibility for the sin. People don't want to take personal responsibility for their sin. Nobody wants to be wrong. In business, the customer is always right. I got news for you. The customer is not always right. They have to confess their sin, 1 John 1:9. There's forgiveness in sin, 1 John 1:9. Reconcile to God in Christ for a new creation, right? You don't stop being a bad person, start being a new creation. You'll think differently. And then sanctification, that process of us moving towards glorification. They'll meet a God of peace, we talked about that. Sanctify you completely. Positive psychological hygiene. The Christian, instead of putting myself at the center of the universe, I need something else. They'll even do so. It's not only sin, but it's important for me to personally in this life. I must think after God. I must will after God. The world is not spinning around you, and that's the problem. Everybody thinks the world spins around them. Right? Now we got social media, and everybody thinks the world spins around them on social media. They're called influencers for a reason. Our choice is really the same as Adam and Eve. We either trust God or we take the serpent word that we can be God. Okay, try as it might to give us skills for living, secular psychology has never been able to give a reason for living. It offers no reason. All it does is change their behavior. Change the behavior. Husband and wife, they're not together. Kids start doing bad stuff. We just want to change the behavior. Just reward your kid more. Just do this for them. Don't punish them as much. There's no vision to be prepared. Okay, I don't have time for this one because we're going to go too long, but this is an amazing book. If you're, there's a few things doctrinally you may not agree with in regards to election and those kinds of things, but basically the benefits of preaching the gospel to yourself. If we stop listening to everything else on social media and we start preaching the gospel to ourselves, lots of the problems go away because we get exposed to the word of God. We become humble people. We delivers us from guilt, accelerates sanctification, helps us be thankful, increases our hope, culminates in worship. So if you start preaching the gospel yourself, all of these things will happen. Guess what? We can have help. You'll be mentally healthy if you do these things because you'll realize the world's not spinning around you. Okay, so this psychology work, the real question is biblical. So this is a book, this guy's not a Christian, it's called The Shrinking. You know, in the old days, they called psychologists, they called them shrinks. So you go to the shrink and talk to the shrink, right? So he wrote this book called The Shrinking of America. In other words, we're sending all these people to psychologists, so we're shrinking all of them. So it's a kind of play on words. The shrinking of America, the missiles, it's a psychological change. He's not a Christian. And in his book, he says, it doesn't work. He basically says, here's the research. It doesn't work. There's not long-term change in these people. They go to the secular council. It just doesn't work. Biblical counseling can lead to real change. Non-biblical counseling leads to, research shows, non-biblical counseling leads to more counseling. Oh, I just love it. I love to go to my counselor. They listen to me all the time. You give me $175 an hour, I will listen to you all day long. That's what they do. They listen all day long and they make $175 an hour. They just keep listening. But that's what the research shows. The more counseling leads to more counseling. Doesn't lead to change problems, right? They've interviewed people who come to the counseling. So the difference between scripture and psychology, this is where it really matters. Scripture and psychology. The focus on scripture is God. These are huge. This was eye-opening for me years ago when I looked at this. Psychology is man-centered. God-centered, man-centered. Human nature, depraved nature. We say we're bad people. They say we're good people. That's the difference there. That view of values, Christians have absolute values. There's right and wrong. Psychology says it's relative. Well, you can shoot somebody because you have bad childhood. You can run off from your wife because this didn't work out. It's absolute on the Christian side. Source for answers is the Bible. The source for answer is within man, you can solve these problems. And once you do, you're self-actualized, you're a good person. And the methodology is, the Bible deals with man in the present. The key to the problems in the past. If you go into counseling, you go to secular counseling, and they say, let's talk about your past. You need to say, let's talk about the present. Because that's the problem. What's the problem? Well, I don't know what we're going to talk about, because I usually talk about the past. I talk about all these problems you had as a kid. I talk about all the problems you had in your marriage in the past. I want to talk about the present. I want to talk about what does God tell me to do as a husband. I want to know what God tells my wife to do as a wife. I need some biblical answers, or this isn't going to work. That's what I'm looking for. So if you're going to counseling, go to a biblical-based counseling. I mean, somebody's literally using the Bible. Not somebody who says, I'm a Christian counselor. And I use all the secular methods because it's in the church. It's all over in the church. Okay, the difference between self-image, and then I'm going to finish up. God's word and self-image. Here's what God tells us. We'll love others. They say love yourself. We say build others up. They say build your self-esteem. Look in the mirror. We say that none are righteous. They say you're good. We say the heart is deceitful. Believe in yourself. Trust your heart. There's probably a song to that. Probably Taylor Swift. So. Put others first. What the Bible says. Self-image is put yourself first. If you read Ecclesiastes, you'll never be first. Never. Be humble. Think highly of yourself. We're sinners. We're a great value. Like Walmart. Great value. Walk in the Spirit. Do what you want to do. Okay. Deny yourself. Find yourself. And found yourself. Out fly fishing last week. Really weird. Okay. Put confidence in God. Just have confidence. So. That makes sense? It's an eye opener, and it's a hard one to swallow in the area of psychology. Because we have this view, to be honest with you, praise God in the Christian school. Because every educational experience is religious. And I can show you that in regards to secular system. Secular system is religious. They have a doctrine for everything that they believe. Biblical Christianity has a doctrine. Biblical education has a doctrine. They all, it's religion. You're here getting a biblical view in education 8 hours a day. I see all these buses. I meet all these kids. I'm just going to drive by my house. I'm like, they're just going 8 hours. I'm just going to get secular education. It's religious. Father, we're grateful today. Thank you for helping us with this. Our minds are so amazing. The way you wired us, how you made us. Our bodies are amazing. Just how you heal and how you allow us to do things that move around today. Father, help us as we continue to look at your word every day, Father. Put it deep into our minds. Don't let us be taken captive, but help us, Father, in this invisible war that's going on around us. We bless your name. Thank you for the school. In Jesus' name. Thanks for listening.